Well, we are in week 4 of our worship series. Actually, I believe today is week 4, so we've had 3. Week 4 in our worship series called The Recipe for Worship. We are looking at the ingredients that Jesus told us is in the recipe for worshiping God, and that is, of course, worshiping Him with heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, worshiping God is not some activity that we do just on Sundays. Most of us understand that. If you don't, worship is not an activity we just do on Sundays. Do we have the recording going back there? Just want to thank you. Worshiping God can and does happen all week long if we are intentional. And being intentional is the key. Because worship is active. Worship is an active process. It was never designed to be passive, where we just kind of sit back and let it happen. Because worship, in the essence, is a response to God's love. And responding, by its very nature, is an active motion. We can't respond and be passive. We have to, when we respond, we are active. And so worship is an active activity for us. Let me ask you, why do we worship God? Well, we worship God to tell Him and show Him that we love Him. It's a response to His love for us. Remember, while we were still enemies, God loved us. God initiated love, and so we respond back to Him in love, and that response back is worship. And if we are genuinely grateful, worship will manifest itself through the many things that we do every week and every day. And the many things we do every day are governed by our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. These are the 4 sections I put together this little visual to help us understand. These are the 4 sections of an umbrella, which nearly all that we do is under those 4 headings: mind, soul, heart, and strength. They are the 4 ingredients, as I mentioned, in the worship recipe. And this is why Jesus said to truly love God means to love Him in all of these areas of our life. And in each of these places of our being, we can display love towards God by offering them back to Him as a gift. And as we do, our actions become an offering. This is why tithing can be an offering. We are offering back to God. We are worshiping Him with our strength and our finances. So it is a worship offering, to be exact and literal. And so far, we've covered what it means to worship God with our hearts and with our soul. And today we will learn what it means to worship God with our minds as we express our love to Him through our intellect. Now, we're pulling this, the heart, soul, mind, and strength, from Mark chapter 12, verses 32 and 33. I want us to look at it for just a second. So the scribe said to him being Jesus, "Well said, teacher." I love that. We have some human creation commending the God of the universe. You know, hey, you know, that was pretty good. "Well said, teacher. You have spoken the truth. For there is one God and there is no other but He. And to love Him with all the heart," because Jesus had just told him that. This is how we love God. "And to love Him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one neighbor as ourselves, is more than all the whole burnt offering." So it is an offering, but it is even more than just a regular offering. It is an offering of sacrifice. And we're not just sacrificing an animal or something else. We are offering up the totality of who we are to God as a sacrifice. That's why worship is a sacrifice. Now, please know that as we talk about mind worship here this morning, we're not talking about some new age mumbo jumbo where we connect with the universe through our minds. And we don't empty our minds to allow ancient unknown deities to come floating in into our psyche. It's just the opposite, as a matter of fact. We fill our minds with the truths about God, and we allow the Holy Spirit of God to lead us in all righteousness. And so with that said, the first thing that I want to show you before moving forward in talking about the mind is a diagram of the heart, soul, mind, and strength. Can we show that slide, Billie Jean? Now, if you'll see this, notice that we have overlapping in the middle, don't we? There's a huge section where they all kind of overlap each other. That's because you can't separate one from the other. We are complete in all of these things. But notice how the mind is kind of sets above the heart, soul, and strength, because with our mind, we are involved in those other areas of our life. Yet also know that each of these areas have their own section where they are distinct. They are worthy of their own study in those parts. So we're going to be in that part of the mind that is distinct from the other three areas. So the first thing, I want to show you three ways today in which we are to use our minds to worship God. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but it's straight from Scripture. The first is that we worship God with our minds when we pursue holiness in our thoughts. And I'll say that again. We worship God with our minds when we pursue holiness in our thoughts. In Philippians chapter 4, 8, we'll have it on the screen, but I would encourage you to turn over if you can flip fast. This is what Paul wrote to the Philippians under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, and whatever is pure. So he's talking about our thoughts, our thought life here. Whatever is lovely and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things. This is what we are to fill our minds with. You see, our mind is the place where our thoughts dwell. And it's the first point of entrance for both our good thoughts and our bad thoughts. We have that little slide here. I want to give you a visual picture of this. It is the place that the devil wants to conquer and he wants to rule. Because whoever controls this little bit of real estate on top of our necks is the one who runs the show. And that's just the simple truth. Thus, we must guard our thoughts and allow only God to come and go as he pleases. All others that come through should be considered trespassers. I got a little picture. I want to give you an illustration of this. This is a military checkpoint. They're checking to make sure that terrorists don't come into the city. So they check them at the gates. They have to vet them. They have to talk to them and find out why they're there. If they're a good person, if they're there just for the marketplace or family or something like that, you may come in. But if they determine that they are a bad person, they keep them out. There's a guy told a story about Checkpoint Charlie when he was in the Army. They used to have to raise the gate to let vehicles come in. They would check them and make sure that they weren't hostile. And if they were good, they would raise the gate and allow them to come in. If they determined that they were bad, they would keep the gate shut. And it's the same thing with our minds. We have to be careful what we allow into our minds, because whatever starts floating around up there is what's going to be ruling our lives and the other parts of our bodies. I showed you the diagram with the mind above the heart, the soul, and the strength. When we are mindful of the things of God, when we contemplate the things of God, when we have a holy mindset in all that we do, we are less likely to allow the things of this world to slip in. We're just more conscious of those bad thoughts. And especially when we practice them, say, God, is that thought from you? No, 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 no. You can't come in. Is that thought from you, God? Oh, okay. You can come in. You can come in and take up residence within my mind, my soul, my heart, and my strength. It looks like this. Because here is our directive that God gives us for this. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. We don't want to let things come in and take root. And we got to be real careful because the enemy's sneaky. He's deceptive. I don't know if you've ever, how many have been to Las Vegas before? I used to live 4 hours from there. I'd visit, you know, time and time again. And as you're coming down into the city, man, it's beautiful. There's all these lights and there's Ferris wheels and the different color lights and there's hustle and bustle. And it can be real tempting to come in and partake with that. But once you get in, it's got you. They say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, and that's not true. What happens in Vegas affects the rest of your life when you go back home, or it can, if you're not careful. But people get sucked in to the awe, to the music, to the glamour of the shows and all those things. And it's like the devil's like that in other areas. Oh, this is a good program. This is good. It's got a little bit of cussing. They've got a little bit of a worldview or other things. The music, it's okay. They wear a cross. They must be okay to listen to. The devil is sneaky if you haven't figured it out. He wants to come in, disguise himself as an angel of light. He wants to get in the door. And once he gets in between these things right here, these are called our ears, these are called our eyes. And once he gets into that little bit of real estate up there called our mind, he plants a flag, says, this place is mine. And he begins to administering his lies and his rules, and we got to be careful. So here's what the Bible says to that end. 2 Corinthians 10. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You might want to circle strongholds. Casting down arguments. Where do we cast down arguments? Sometimes those arguments in our mind, aren't they? It's the ways of the world arguing with the ways of God. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So when we let Satan in our minds, he begins exalting himself against the knowledge of God. So we are to, then look at the rest of that. Bringing every thought. That means every thought that comes into our mind, whether bad or good, we are to examine it. Like those guys at the checkpoint. If it's a good thought, come on in. If it's a bad thought, stay out. You're not welcome. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ is what the Word of God says. And we are to bring every thought. We're to hold it up against the Word of God. Is this what the Word of God says? It's not. You need to stay out. Is this what the Word of God says? Yes, you may come in. It's so simple. And many times the strongholds that we deal with, they're not over there somewhere. They're right up here. They're right up here. They are our minds. And sometimes we've allowed the devil to slip in with his lies and his schemes and to squat. That's a funny word, isn't it? You picture the devil squatting. Actually, it's a term when you trespass onto property that's not your own and you stay so long that you can stake owner to it. The legal world has given that a term called adverse possession. Adverse possession. It means you've come in and you've trespassed on a property so long and you've been allowed to stay that you can stake legal claim to it. And the devil works the same way. When he's able to come into our minds and stay for so long, he starts going, I'm the one that rules this body. I'm the one that rules this life. And if we allow him to do so, he says, thank you very much. I will continue doing those things. So the way that we can prevent this from happening, so that we don't have to go through the eviction process with the devil, and those eviction processes can be long sometimes, is to take every thought captive when the devil's lies or freshly thoughts first come. And I realize that this is not always easy. It can plain wear you down, but that's where the grace of the Holy Spirit comes in. Keep asking for the Holy Spirit. I need help. I need grace. The devil's wearing me out. Every thought captive? Yes. It's estimated that we have over 40,000 thoughts a day. Are we supposed to capture each one of those? Yes. They're supposed to go through the checkpoint of our mind. And once we know the Word, it gets a lot easier to know if those are good thoughts or if those are bad thoughts. And by the way, let me just say, if you're a parent in here, it is your job to be the checkpoint, Charlie, to be the guy at the gate for your children. They're not old enough to discern right and wrong. They have a sense of it. It's built within them. But they don't have a mental capacity to understand that this could be a satanic lie and a scheme trying to set their life up to kill them. And as parents, it's our duty to guard our children's minds. It is. Don't give it to Disney. Just go sit in the front of the Disney Channel, because the devil will use Mickey Mouse. Now I use that, I'm hyperbole, not necessarily Mickey Mouse, but the programming of Disney and other programming like it to infiltrate your children with lies that are contrary to the Word of God, and they do not have the knowledge of how to resist the evil of the devil and the schemes of the devil. So we parents, it's our job to be a gatekeeper and to be a filter for our kids. And no matter how much they kick and they scream, and why isn't little Johnny, why can they do this stuff? Why can they watch it? Go, I don't care about little Johnny. God has put you under my authority, and it is my job to watch over what comes in through your eyes and through your ears. Christians, parents, do you understand that? This is not Robin saying this. This is the Word of God. The Bible and God has challenged us with that responsibility to mind and be the gatekeeper for our children. And by the way, I've mentioned this a couple weeks ago. If you're a spouse, or you're with your you're in a relationship or something, to help your spouse with what comes before their eyes, with what they're listening to. I've given the example of Liana. Sometimes I'll just give her the remote, and as things come on, even an old program, we see something coming in. That the women that we're watching are probably 95 years old by now, but they're still in that program. They're wearing something inappropriate, and she doesn't want me to stumble, so she'll take the remote and she'll change it on another channel. I'll turn my head, and I'll ask her, okay, is it okay to look at this now? She says, yes, it is okay. That's one way that we can be helpful to our spouses and be in that checkpoint Charlie and helping our spouses to realize, because sometimes the devil inoculates us and we're not even aware that we're being schemed, that we're being played by the enemy, but our spouse is, because God gives our spouse awareness, and we need to listen to them, especially men. We're like, oh, yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. They do know what they're talking about, because God has placed their wives in our life to be His mouthpiece, to be our conscience, to be our warning, our signal, our flags. Go, hey, the devil's here, the devil's afoot. We have a responsibility. And when we love God, when we take that responsibility onto ourselves and we're serious about it, and we attempt to be obedient to God and His Word, and we do this out of love, guess what? It is worshiping God with our minds, our intellect, because we've set it apart. We've set that little bit of real estate apart for God and says, God, it is yours. It is yours. And we are in effect saying, Lord, my mind is yours. Sanctify it. Make it holy and useful to you. And I'll do my best to keep it holy, because my mind is yours. It's not my own. So the second way now that we can use our minds to worship God is by intentionally growing in the knowledge of God. The second way that we are to use our minds to worship God is by intentionally growing in the knowledge of God. Growing in the knowledge of God means learning what pleases Him and what does not. We can't rely on someone else to tell us. I know time and time again, so many people rely on the pastors and the preachers to tell them what's in the Bible. I get that to a point. But there's so much garbage being spewed from the pulpit nowadays. All kinds of stuff that is not orthodox Christianity. It's a false doctrine. The Bible says that in the last days, it's going to become prevalent. We have got to know what's in the Word. Not just take the pastor's word for it that it's in there. You know, the Catholic Church used to have a monopoly on theology, because they were the only ones that spoke Latin. And as the people didn't speak Latin, or they didn't understand, they couldn't read Latin, the church would tell them what's in the Bible, because the Bible was written in Latin, but they couldn't read it. And that's where all the heresies and all the things crept into the church, like indulgences, where they would sell the bones. Like give money to the church, and the bones, these are the bones of John the Baptist, and if you give money to us, you can lay hands on it, and it will spring your relatives out of purgatory. It's where the old saying comes, when you hear the money box cling, then your relatives spring out of purgatory. That's where that comes. We've got to know God ourselves. And what He has made known to us, He has made known in His Word, and we have it, and we need to become students of the Word. So growing in the knowledge of God means learning what pleases Him and what does not. We have to find out for ourselves. And here's what 2 Peter 3:18 says about this. But grow in the grace. Here's a command. This is not a suggestion. If you feel like it, if you want to, he says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. It's the command that we are to grow in our knowledge of God. And you know what? Christ expects us to grow in our knowledge of him because we are in relationship with him. And here's what I mean by that. When you were getting to know your wives and your spouses, you were first dating, you wanted to get to know them, right? You wanted to know what makes them tick. What do they like? What do they don't like? What don't they like? When we're in a relationship, that's part of the caring, that's part of the love process as we begin to grow in that. Liana, when we first got married, I learned quickly that she doesn't like my socks to lay on the floor. And she'll leave them there for me to pick up. She'll leave them for 6 months if I don't pick them up. So I learned to pick them up quickly if I don't want to stare at my socks lying on the floor for 6 months. I also learned very quickly that she likes the toilet seat down when I leave the bathroom. I don't blame her, actually. And I've also learned that she likes flowers. So yes, I get her flowers. Just recently I bought her some flowers. And you know what? I don't need to go to the florist and spend $60 for them. I go down to Costco and get them for $20. And they're just as beautiful as any of the florists would dally up. And she's just as grateful because she likes flowers. I could probably pick them from Larry's front yard and she would still be grateful for that. I don't know what Bonnie would be, but Liana would be grateful for it. So Jesus wants us to get to know him because we are in a relationship with him. And when we seek out what pleases him, whether it's through his word or prayer, we are worshiping him with our minds. And this is the essence of, who remembers the WWJD movement? Actually, it's still around. It's what would Jesus do? Remember, we had bracelets. We got the little picture of it. Maybe some of you even had those bracelets in here. And you'd wear them around anywhere. These bracelets, in their essence, were an appeal to our intellect. Because we were supposed to sit there and contemplate, what is God's heart? What is God's will in this situation? Well, here's WWJD. I'm supposed to think about that. I'm supposed to seek God's heart and do what pleases him. And that was the essence of the WWJD. And it really, movement, and actually it's a great idea. Some people would just wear them down to identify with the church. Yeah, I'm part of the movement, blah, blah, blah. But really, if we use our intellects to pursue God, to grow in our knowledge of him, what is your heart, Jesus? What is your heart for this? Then we are worshiping God with our minds. And the third point is, we are to use our minds to consciously engage and focus on God, no matter where we are or what we're doing. In Acts 16:35, Paul and Silas had been in prison for sharing Jesus. And they were down in a dark prison. It smelled. It was dank, it was cold, probably didn't have much food. They had chains on their feet and chains on their hands, dirty, smelly, had a guard right outside their door, probably just being mean to them whenever he could get a chance. But in the midst of that, Paul and Silas decided to worship God, to focus on God and to engage with him. And they were engaging God even when it might have been difficult for others given the same situation. You see, some folks need a particular kind of music for them to praise God. I've heard this all my life. Some need comfortable pews and the air to be just right. Not too hot. Not too cold. But just right. And then I can worship Jesus. Some need the carpet to be a particular color. Some need a painting to be on the wall. Some need the pastor to smile a little more, and then they can worship Jesus. Let me just say that choosing to worship God, despite how much these things bug you, is an exercise in worshiping God with our mind. Those things I just mentioned are mere tools to assist us in worship. But they are not worship in and of themselves. Worship is dependent upon us focusing our minds and our thoughts on God alone. Are we here for God, or are we here for ourselves? If the answer is for God, then we are to engage Him and focus on Him. Are we at church to give, or are we at church to get? Distinguishing which one it is can significantly enhance or take away from our worship time. During church or at home, are we letting distractions pull us away from contemplating and worshiping God? Or are we fighting through the distractions to worship Him alone? If we are fighting for our worship space and our time, then we are worshiping God with our minds. Congratulations, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. We are endeavoring to seek God's presence, no matter the atmosphere, the distractions, or less than helpful tools to worship God. If we're able to focus on God, despite the things going on around us, we are endeavoring to worship God with our minds. We're fighting for that space in the presence of God. This is why prayer closets are so wonderful. How many have a private place where they can go and just pray and focus on God? Let's see a show of hands. Good. Keep them up for just a second. Okay, we got about a quarter. Guys, I want to encourage you. Your prayer closet can be your car. It can be out in the middle of these fields. It can be somewhere where you can get alone with God. And you can just focus on Him and get away from distractions. You need to be doing this. You need that time alone with God where it's just you and Him. Sometimes you're listening. Sometimes you're talking. All the time you're praising Him and building relationship with Him. The parsonage is, we're so grateful for the parsonage. It's a little small. And I'm grateful for that. They don't have a lot of upkeep. But in order to get away, I need to get away. There's not a lot of prayer closets there because we're kind of up in each other's business. So I come over to the church and I pray. And I spend time alone with God where I can focus on Him. I use some of the elements around to help me focus on God. And that can be a good thing. If you have a cross or something like that, where it can just bring your mind into focus. We need to be doing that. And when we endeavor to focus on God alone, we are worshiping God with our minds. So I want to conclude today with saying that there are three areas in which we can be using the mind to worship God. The first is contemplating holiness. That is setting our mind on things above and not below. Filling our minds with the things of God. The second is pursuing a deeper understanding and knowledge of God. We've got to be pursuing relationship with Him, getting to know Him. We get to know Him through the study of His Word, and we get to know Him as we pray and we talk with Him and we give our time to Him. And the third is we need to learn to focus on God. And sometimes that means removing distractions, but other times if you can't get away from the distractions, do your best to just begin focusing on God. Maybe it's the lyrics of a song. You know, we're going to be talking about the musical aspect of worship here in just a couple weeks. And maybe it's hard for you to get into the music, or there's something, maybe one of the worship team is wearing a funky sweater or something like that, and you go, man, I can't get into it. The music's too loud, the heat's too cold, or the heat's not hot enough, blah, 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 it goes on. Man, just fight through it. That's just the devil trying to pull you out of worship. Begin to focus on the lyrics of the song. Begin to talk with God and ask God, what do these lyrics mean to me? What are some of the images in the cross? What does it mean to me today? Focus and fight for that time with God. Is this what Jesus meant when He said to love God with all your mind? Am I just making this stuff up? I think this is what Jesus meant. To love Him is to worship Him with all of who we are. With all the components that make us unique, it's a total and complete sacrifice. And I'll end with this. And this includes our mind. This is what God, and this is what Jesus intended, because God wants all of us. He wants our passions, and he wants our love freely given, freely given. He wants our thoughts to be continually of him. He wants us engaged and active, not passively just going through the motions. I showed up today, here I am. No, no. He wants you engaged. He wants you to be in the moment. And he wants us to grow deeper in our knowledge of him, to mature and search for him. Why? Because he wants us in a relationship with him. He doesn't want us in a religionship with him, where we're just coming to church. I'm singing a few songs. I don't care what they are. I'm throwing a few bucks on the plate. I'm shaking a few hands, a few high fives. I put on a fake smile for about an hour, and I'm good to go. I leave. No. No, that's religionship, and it's going to get you nowhere. But relationship, building a relationship with God, beginning to worship and be dwelling in his presence, being in his word and praying and fellowshipping with God and fellowshipping with others. That's when we begin to build a relationship with God, and that's where everything in our life will change. That's when we will begin to transform into the image of Christ, and that is the goal. It's called sanctification, and that's the trajectory where we are heading. If we allow God to be a part of our everyday life, and we walk and worship him in mind, heart, soul, and our strength. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your exhortation today of worshiping you with our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. The totality of who we are created in your image. God, it encompasses all of our life. There is no part of our life that we cannot be worshiping you and you have not called us to worship you in. Really, it's offering up that part of our life to you. Lord, I pray by your Holy Spirit that you help us to grow in the knowledge of Christ, each of us. That you teach us about God. That you teach us about Jesus and what he likes and what he doesn't like. And that our consciences that you've given us are strong. We pray, Lord, that you would hear our prayers and that you would accept our worship as an offering to you. As the offering of Abel, Lord, the offering that is fresh in the first fruits of our life, the first fruits of our day, the first fruits of our worship, God, they are for you. Lord, we pray now for your blessing on this week. Lord, may your eyes be upon us. May you be gracious to you and give us your peace. May your shalom encompass all of our life. Protect us on the roads in our coming and going, and bless us in our rising up and our lying down. Bless our finances and bless our health. Lord, bless our families and our children. Bless those that are single in here, God. Lord, we pray that you would be their companion and that you would draw close to them. Lord, continue to watch over us. We pray for our nation this morning. We pray that you would tear down the thrones of wickedness. We pray that you would tear down the Jezebel spirit that is running our nation. That you would tear down the demonic strongholds and the principalities of the air. Father, we pray that you would restore our freedoms and that you would remove the insanity. Father, we pray for a moral standard to rise up, that there'll be, Lord, those that are seeking your heart. God, we pray for our nation during this dark hour. And we pray that you would protect us and provide for us, that you would remember your remnant. And Lord, that you would be our God and we are your people. Lead us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, bless everybody. Have a great week. Looking forward to next week already as we talk about worshiping God with our strength. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week.